From NPR Music, you're connected to All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan. We tried to do an awful lot of different music on the show. Well, recently on a show, we did LCD Sound System and followed it with Merle Haggard. Robin hosted last week, and he did Tom Lehrer and Tony Allen, the South African drummer. But we miss an awful lot of great music, and some of it's our tastes. I have a blind spot for hip-hop and a blind spot for metal. I like jazz, but not a lot of jazz that comes out these days. And so I thought we'd try to cure that today by bringing on some of NPR Music's talent. And there's a lot of talent in this building. You see great build-outs of all sorts of genres of music on the website. And some of the people responsible for that are here today. You've known Lars Gotrich because Lars has done a number of shows with us.
I am Viking's choice.
In the flesh. Wearing a Godflesh t-shirt.
Hell yeah.
And Patrick Jaron Watanonen is here. He writes the blog Supreme. And Patrick, welcome.
I am the blogger supreme, or the blog supremacist, if you prefer.
Oh, gosh.
And he's wearing a hoodie. And in New York City is Franny Kelly, who usually sits with us, but she didn't really want to be in the same room with us, I think.
I don't blame her.
That seems to happen with all the women on All Songs Considered. They tend to like to do the shows from a different location.
Just so we can regulate on you.
That's right. Welcome, Franny.
Thank you.
I don't have a three-sided coin here to flip, but since you're the furthest away, Franny has that for a reason. I'm going to throw it to you.
I think
you...
it's because I'm the girl.
Ladies first.
Why don't you help us out and fill in some of my blind spot, especially in hip-hop. We sit in this room. There's about 8 or 9 of us who all have strong musical tastes in different genres, and for you, it's hip-hop.
Play Shutterbug.
Okay. Who's by?
Big Boy.
Okay. And that's B-O-I.
Indeed. He's going to spell it for you in a minute, too.
Thank you. Let's hear it.
I keep it player, why some choose to play it safe? Boy, check the resume, it's risky business in the AA. And I've been witness to this history ever since the 10th grade. We went from rock and brace to 10th phase. I twist my A-head to the side just for style. Or throw on the Gucci bucket with the fly, super fly. Wow, the Southern private known to shut it down. It ain't so country though, the end, this ain't no Goma pile. I'm Sergeant Slaughter, I keep my skish to alter in order to satisfy my people in Georgia and cross the water. And across the border, the essays are getting smarter. They got flour for tortillas and lettuce for enchiladas. If you follow, wink, wink. No doubt we don't speak in a blink. Them folks can have you sleeping in the clink. Now party people in the club, it's time to cut a rug and throw the loose up in the sky just for the shutterbugs. I'm double fisted and you empty, you can grab a club. Boy, stop, I'm just playing, let me dab you up.
You're in my sins.
It's after 12 club like a high B. A beehive cause not everybody buzzing around me. Could it be the way that the verses sounding came up on the ghetto boys and the underground king toys? I had a broom calling pretty brown thing. Pink looked like Rubia when the sun was shining. Known to keep a bad bitch, no niggas beside me. And that finger on the trigger case niggas is clowning. Not to flex but to protect my neck like the Wu-Tang. Self-preservation is the rule when you do aim. Or getting something more sinister, you gotta be the finisher. Make it so the...
It's like a whole album wrapped up in that song. It just never stops changing.
It's amazing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that was produced by Scott Storch, who sort of hasn't been mentioned much recently, but he's produced a lot of pop hits. And that is the first official single, I believe, from Big Boy's new solo album. I picked this track because this album was supposed to come out this week, and it's just killing me terribly inside that it hasn't. Now it's pushed back to July because Big Boy jumped from Jive to Def Jam. And I'm just telling you, Mr. L.A. Reid, if you put out this album, I will pay you $18.99 for it. I like this album. I like the songs
much.
On this album, like high school amount. I will pay you $18.99. It's called Sir Lucius Left Foot, the son of Chico Dusty.
And Big Boy, people know from Outkast.
Yeah, exactly. He's one half of Outkast, and he was always sort of thought of as like the more street half. He is unbelievably skilled. He's technically impeccable.
Now you're just talking about the singing. Who's doing all the music?
I don't know where all the samples come from, all of them. At one point, like further into the song, they sample this song that Soul to Soul did, Back to Life, Back to Reality. Yeah, it's awesome. But all I know for sure is that Scott Storch put it all together.
I think it's one of the poppiest big boy songs. I might be wrong because I haven't. It's been a while since I've heard it, other new stuff from him other than the jam that came out last summer.
What about Shine Blockers?
Yeah, that was it's a fantastic cut. But what's so great about Shutterbug is that it's just, it seems to come out of this weird futuristic 80s movie. I imagine Prince in his like little outfit and and then big boys like dancing around in front of him.
Lars, you got a pick for us?
Yeah, I'm going to change it completely.
I could have guessed that.
Yeah. This first cut I want to play from is from a San Francisco metal band called Ludicra. They've been around for basically the past decade, and they're a five-piece. And one thing that music writers always want to mention is worth mentioning is that the main vocalist is a woman, as is one of the guitarists.
Which for black metal is kind of unusual, and that's probably why they mentioned it.
Which is unusual. Yeah. Although there was this great piece, I want to say it was in the Chicago Reader, basically said that while that's important, in metal, the concept doesn't necessarily matter because it's all about an attitude. And that certainly shows through. The fascinating thing about this particular record, it's called The Tenant. Even though it's very fierce and very... can be very abrasive, it's also very beautiful, and actually does show a little bit of the femininity of the band, which I think is really fascinating, and I think is really challenging a lot of ideas about the American metal landscape.
And did you tell me where they were from? Because if you did, I forgot.
They're from San Francisco.
Great. And so we're playing...
We're going to play Clean White Void. So Ludicra, they're really like a really working class band, and they're really, they've kind of had a whole bunch of trouble just from the very get-go of the year. They were supposed to play at the 930 Club. They're going to be doing this huge tour with a Scandinavian black metal band called Mayhem, who has notoriously canceled every tour that they've ever done in the U.S., and of course they did. And so this entire tour got canceled, and they rebuilt it from the ground up. And then one of their band members got hospitalized, basically 2 days into it. But they kept on soldiering on, and they didn't make it out to D.C. for this tour, but when I saw them a couple years ago, I was just blown away by their musicality and by their musicianship, and I really think they're one of America's great metal bands.
Can you explain the black metal music and Norway, and there just seems to be such a Scandinavian connection with metal, maybe in more in particular black metal.
The black metal that's very popular, that people most know it for, came out of the early 90s in Scandinavia, specifically Norway. Its sound is typically like very raw buzzing guitars and shrieked vocals and typically lo-fi production. Like all things, people take things and they make them their own, and we discussed this before, I think, but like American black metal musicians, they're certainly interested and influenced and all that stuff that happened in the early 90s by bands like Burzum and Immortal. But they're taking on American forms and bringing them into them. And throughout this, like just the track that we heard, I think that owed actually a lot to some Led Zeppelin riffs, mm-hmm. and things like that. So it's taking from like very American rock forms. And there's no one definition of American black metal, I think.
So take it around to you, Patrick, and we'll add jazz to this mix.
Sure. Well, I just wanted to say that there was a lot of really interesting harmonic stuff going on, just like the multiple layers of a guitar in that song. Anyway, we'll change it up almost entirely again to a group called the Claudia Quintet on their forthcoming album. It's on Cuneiform Records. It's called Royal Toast. They actually are a sextet. They welcome a...
Wait a minute. The name of the band is...
The name of the band is the Claudia Quintet.
And they are
a sextet on this upcoming band. I mean, they have a special guest. His name is Gary Versace. He plays piano. Mm-hmm. It's sort of an interesting band. It's led by a drummer and composer named John Hollenbeck. But it's a weirdly instrumented band. And there's a vibraphonist. There's a accordion player, a saxophone player who largely plays clarinets as well. And a bassist. So it has sort of if you call it a post-rock vibe to it, and it's certainly very structured. So if you like a band like Deerhoof, or even a band like Spoon, who makes these tightly controlled pop songs, you may find something that you like in here. This particular song, which I picked, it's called Armitage Shanks. It changes in form a lot. It takes a little bit of time to develop, starts off a little bit slower, and then the beat changes 3 or 4 times, sort of like in that Big Boy track.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we play some of it? Let's listen to Slow Build. Robin Hilton sitting here with us, and I may ask you to fast forward a little bit so we can hear some of the changes Patrick is talking about. Robin, you want to just forward it in? There's a lot of interesting stuff going on. It's sort of unusual that there's a drummer that's doing the composition. It's not completely rare, I think.
Not completely. In the jazz world, you get somebody like Max Roach or a fellow like Mike Reed, actually. I've picked him for later in the show.
Oh, okay.
Maybe somebody like Glenn Kochi, who's sort of in that
from
rock
Wilco.
Music
People
world.
People know him from Wilco. And
sure.
And does his own interesting solo records.
A lot of different interesting percussion work.
Great. Franny Kelly, you still there?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Okay, so these two ladies are called the Get'em Mommies, and they're from Baltimore.
Get'em Mommies?
Yeah. Like Get'em.
Like M-A-M.
Yeah,
let's come.
Like let's get them.
M-O-M-M-Y-S?
Like get them.
Get'em
Get
Mommies.
Get'em Mommies. And they perform under the names Roxy and Symphony. And they are out of this world good. They practice all the time. They perform a lot. And they're about to put out a new mixtape. It's going to be called Pop Rocks and Soda, which is also how they describe their style sometimes.
A little bit dangerous.
They say because, you know, it makes your head explode.
And they're from the burgeoning Baltimore scene as well.
Yeah, they hold it down.
Yeah, we played Rye Rye not long ago from Baltimore. And Patrick says burgeoning scene. What do you know about the Baltimore scene? And what's this? Is there a sound?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it's based on Baltimore club music, which you'll hear in this track.
What am I listening for when you say Baltimore club music? What is
it's sort of a stuttering, real fast beat. The point of it, well, some people say the point of it is to make sure you can't dance. Like, you just are going so crazy, it's not even a danceable beat. And the way that these ladies have figured out how to flow over it is really, really impressive. What they do is hard. To be so precise and aggressive and not laugh at their own jokes, which are already so hilarious.
Okay. What do you want to play?
So for the new mixtape, they're going to be putting out two songs every Monday for the next 2 months for free. And this one is called Soft Skin Remix.
And we find it on getamommies.com?
You can get these tracks at getamommies.net.
Spell getamommies because I wouldn't have spelled it the way they spell it. So just for the
it's like
people.
It's like getem, G-E-T-E-M-M-A-M-I-S.
Yeah, that was the mommy's part was the one that I wouldn't have gotten.
So the motto of www.getamommies.net is where music lovers say, F it, let's get married.
Okay.
I love them so much.
Hit it, Robin.
Girl was irreplaceable. Now you wanna have it. My issues irresistible. Got him running home to bed. Can't have it cause he love it. He police him and cuffing. I keep my water running. I keep my water running. Showing up in all black with pearl. I give it to a nigga for back your girl. I take you to a place you ain't never heard of. How you feeling like you in a different world? I tell him leave but he coming right back. I can tell him no when he running like that. Best the other hand, I ain't frontin' about that. And I ain't saying the issue but I'm something like that.
I like the less predictable beat to that song, and I hear what you mean by that'd be hard to dance to.
Double time.
Do we know where the piano sample comes from? It sounds like some kind of like Burt Bacharach thing.
I don't know. I looked and I couldn't figure it out.
It's fantastic.
No idea.
I just love the sample. And the beat, it's got this nice subterranean bass to it. I love it.
Yeah, and then the headphones, it sort of makes you feel like you just went in the under the Baltimore tunnel.
There it is.
Let's go not to Lars. Let's go randomly.
I've been skipped.
I just, you know, just the same order of stuff. I just don't want to go around in a circle here. Let's go back to Patrick.
I'm actually going to pick something which Lars might be into. Lars, I know, is into a lot of free jazz. I know he's into Sun Ra. And here's a piece that was written by Sun Ra in his sort of early period in sort of the 1950s in Chicago. In fact, this band is all about Chicago. It's led by the drummer Mike Reed. It's called People, Places, and Things.
Now, this is part of, like, some trilogy, right?
Yes, this is the third album in a trilogy, and that sounds awfully pretentious, but it actually is not.
What ties these three things together, do you know?
Sure. The idea of his band is to, well, the first record was largely interpretations of great Chicago hard bop jazz music from the 1950s, but sort of filtered through this modern approach. The second album was mostly original compositions featuring some of the people on the scene today.
In Chicago,
yes. And this third album was actually recorded live, but it also it takes both some of the old songs, some of the new songs, and it actually features people of that generation who were on the scene in the middle to late 1950s, early 1960s in Chicago, playing sort of adventurous hard bop into that free jazz period, which was so popular, which was Chicago is so well known for in the jazz world.
What's the song we're going to play here?
This is called L is a Sound of Joy. Again, it's a old Sun Ra song.
Knew how to write a hell of a blues song, didn't he?
Unbelievable. I want to be in that club right this very minute.
That was actually recorded live in Chicago's Millennium Park, so it must have been a pretty massive audience.
That's a big party. Wow.
Certainly was. And actually, Mike Reed knows how to put on a party. He's a concert booker. You don't make a living by being a free jazz drummer in your spare time. So he books a lot of shows in Chicago. A lot of them tend to be part of this adventurous jazz scene, crowd, whatever you call it. He also puts together the Pitchfork Music Festival. So the people at Pitchfork online contact him, and he contracts and books with all the bands, and, you know, during the festival basically doesn't sleep to make sure it goes off without a hitch every year.
Well, he should get this band and play this song at the Pitchfork Festival, because, you know, those people need to hear this stuff. This is good music.
Yeah, should tell those to the people at Pitchfork.
Well, we just have.
Done.
Mr. Godflesh.
Mr. Godflesh. Oh, my gosh. So, you know, in the midst of all of our best of 2009 things, I did, like, my own little personal lists for my record label's website. And I included a list called Best Cassettes of 2009. And there is this guy who records under the name Indignant Senility, which I have to say is a terrible artist name. But he put out this cassette called Plays Wagner. he takes these old classical records, specifically Wagner records, and he puts them on his turntables, and he just slows them all the way down. And he puts them through effects and pedals and things like that. And it's like, I love Wagner. I saw the last part of the Ring cycle at the Kennedy Center. I was in the front row. It was absolutely incredible. Because Wagner's big and bombastic and very macho. And then to hear his music be reduced to this slow death crawl, it's just absolutely beautiful and haunting at the same time. And there's this record label, Type Records, who heard this cassette and was like, more people need to hear this than the 90 people who got this cassette. Mm-hmm. Especially during when we had a Snowmageddon 2K10 here in Washington, D.C., this was spun on my record player pretty much all day. Yeah.
So it's a record now, not just a cassette as
yeah,
it was.
It's now on, you know, CD and.
And did he master this? We should probably just go to it. One question: Did he master this from the slow stuff right onto a C90 cassette or something? I mean, or did he make?
He did it right onto cassette, and the record label was great. They decided to just keep that grittiness.
All right, let's hear it.
So we're going to hear Indignant Senility, and this is from Plays Wagner.
You described this, I thought, you know what, it probably doesn't matter what piece he's going to pick, but I can hear, you know, a little bit about why he picked Wagner.
Yeah, I can't really explain it either. I love that I love the ambiguity of it, and I love that you don't know exactly what piece it is, but when you find out that it is Wagner, and you happen to know any of his work, you're kind of just struck by it. And this is the great thing about, the interesting about this guy's name is Pat Maher. And he also has another project called DJ Yo-Yo Dieting, where he essentially does this with crunk rap records. He calls it, so in the rap community, they call it chopped and screwed, but he calls it slowed and chewed.
You know, there's got to be, maybe even in New York and in our engineer, somebody who knows enough of Wagner's music that might identify it. And I would say that if you're out there, go to npr.org/allsongs, look for this show where Patrick Jaren-Watanon and Lars Gottridge and Franny Kelly are a part of picking music today, and identify the piece. Let's see if we can do that. Franny Kelly, we just slowed Wagner down to a creep. And I have a feeling you're going to do the polar opposite for us.
Yeah, as beautiful as that was, Death Crawl's not really my scene.
So what do you
got? All right, this is a little bit complicated to explain. The song is not new.
We just talked about a guy who buys dime store classical records and slows them down to Wagner, so...
You're right. My song's about beer.
Yes.
This is not hard to explain, Franny. You yes. just did.
The song is called I Heart Beer, and I do. It's not new. It's actually 3 years old, but I'm shoehorning it in here because it's on a compilation that Jake Won, the producer from Seattle, just put out. And he put together like the best Seattle rap from about 1989 to now.
What's the compilation called?
Town Biz. So, one of the acts he chose was this group called The Physics. It's three guys. And this song is just a nice laid-back way to ease into summer. Just easy breezy.
I Heart Beer. Here we go.
Cracking the tops off of them, you know what I'm saying? Ain't nothing like a brew on a hot sunny day. Tip back 12 ounces and I'm well on my way. Ain't nothing like a beer to alleviate my stress. Some say I'm alcoholic, but they don't know best. Ain't nothing like a tall can when I need a sip. Pull a tab back, crack it, and proceed to take a swig. Think I'm about to pull a cold one straight out the fridge. Chances are if it's a weekend, then I'm gonna do it big. Ain't nothing like a beer, I can feel it when it's near. I can smell it in the air. Crack the top and watch it slowly disappear. I be loving it, guzzling it, always down up with it. Promise you won't ever see me hugging it. Be buzzing quick, I keep a bottle opener on me. Then after work, proceed to crack the top slowly. Got 24 ounces in my left hand, cozy. My goodness, no, I ain't just filled with one brew only. I keep a couple of them double-fisted while I clutch them. I may be stumbling, but they still saying you gotta love them. I keep a couple rolling rocks when I roll a spot. Might just have one up in my sock, whether you
there
know
really
or not.
There really is not anything like bitches and a brew. I have my brew in hand, but damn, no bitches, is it you? Shit. And please don't think of the usage of bitches as being rude. We just be crying, throwing slang around me and my dude.
Ain't nothing like a brew on a hot sunny day. Tip back 12 ounces and I'm well on my way. Ain't nothing like a beer to alleviate my stress. Some say I'm alcoholic, but they don't know best. Ain't nothing like a tall can when I need a sip. Pull a tab back, crack it, then proceed to take a swig. Think I'm about to pull a cold one straight out the fridge. Chances are if it's a weekend, then I'm gonna do it big. When my brews crack, to get so happy, I'ma love it. This to the devil be.
My favorite line in the song was the 24-ounce can in his sock.
I know, man. I love it. I think the cool thing about the, because I'm so cool.
This is Physics, yes.
Yeah, this is Physics. So that song comes from their 2007 album, Future Talk. But you can hear a lot of more Seattle stuff on Jake One's new mixtape.
And is Physics Biz. Still do things? They do.
They're working on things right now. Okay. So says their website. They don't call me back.
I can't wait to play this song on my front porch.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. This is
summer.
A great song for Annie.
I know.
I also can't wait for happy hour.
Yes.
Yeah, today. But I think what's cool about the three songs that Bob you gave me the chance to play today is how different. Oh my god,
Franny.
Busted.
Franny.
I swear to God, I turned it off.
I heard you turn it off earlier.
You just know this is going to end up in the outtakes at the end of the show.
It's not any. It's ending up right in the middle of the show.
All right. Well, I'll make a really, really quick point. What's cool about the three songs that Bob, you gave me the chance to play today, is that each of the artists' flow is really different. Like the way that they're rapping their words rhythmically around the beat, very distinct from each other. And not sort of, I'm not trying to make any like regional claims or anything, but just goes to show that, you know, the diversity of style and music in rap.
Absolutely. They were all really different. So were the beats behind them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Patrick Jaron Watanonen, what do you got?
I have a singer-songwriter album, but it's also kind of a free jazz album. So let me explain. There's this
one in one channel, one in the other?
Not quite, but sort of. There's a singer-songwriter named David Karsten Daniels. He used to be based in North Carolina. I think he's in San Francisco or Portland or somewhere out west currently. And a while back, he contacted the leader of a 9-piece avant jazz big band from Richmond, Virginia, of all places. His name is Matt.
We know who they are.
Yes,
we put them on in a party.
Yes, we put them on in concert. They're called Fight the Big Bull. And he contacted the leader, Matt White, who does a lot of the arranging for the group. He hardly plays, actually. He plays guitar, but he barely plays on this album. And he said, I've got this collection of songs based on Henry David Thoreau poems. Sounds sort of half-baked, but what Matt has done with the orchestration with these is really amazing. You take this sort of, these really good lines, actually. If you're the kind of listener who's like me, who doesn't really pay attention to lyrics that much, and sort of sees how they flows and sound together, it sounds really good. And what Matt has done with these is sort of flesh them out into this orchestral pop sort of thing. And the way that David Carson Daniels has produced it, he's multi-tracked his voice over itself, so it kind of gives this group chant sort of effect to it.
I'm intrigued.
The album is called I Mean to Live Here Still, and it's taken from a line in this particular song. It's called Die and Be Buried.
Excellent. So Fight the Big Bull and David Carson Daniels.
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
This is another record like the last one you played that really, the Sun Ra thing that I really want to hear live. I mean, this is obviously the other was recorded live, but this really lends itself to that.
I would think so. They're going to be touring, but not much. It's hard to bring a 9-piece group on the road, although they are going to be playing in Richmond down the road from us in D.C. at some point.
Nine people could fit behind my desk.
Yeah. And Fight the Big Bull, by the way, is also coming out with their own album not too long from now. I think it's called All Is Gladness in the Kingdom. It features Stephen Bernstein, the trumpeter.
Oh, my favorite.
That was really cool.
Yeah, there are so many things to say about that song, but the opening, and this is where I'll get a little nerdy, it reminded me a lot of Terry Riley.
Okay, I could hear that.
There's a lot of beautiful minimalist repetition going on right in their beginning, and everybody was kind of overlapping on top of one each other.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting stuff in what they do with that song. That trumpet part reminds me of the Beatles, the trumpet part in the Beatles song Penny Lane, I guess.
Oh yeah, definitely.
It's sort of like kind of majestic and regal in that particular way. And the way that those the vocals are tracked over each other sort of gives that impression of being sort of like a trend in indie rock these days, in that sort of group chanting thing that you hear in Local Natives, that you hear in Fleet Foxes to some extent, even Animal Collective, almost a sort of primal, raw vocal force.
In this case, it's just the one guy, though. But I was so glad. I was just, when the song was falling apart, so to speak, you know, and going, and the instruments felt like they were going all different places, it was so great when they came back that he was the center of it. It just, to me, it really just propelled the song ahead. I mean, made me feel really good that it worked that way.
Well, that's so, that's the sign of a good arranger.
Yeah, that's true, too. Absolutely. Did a good job. So Fight the Big Bull and David Carsten Daniels. Lars, you have the duty of taking us out.
Oh, I'm so excited about this cut, Bob. You have no idea. So there, you know, when I'm looking at my favorite blogs or whatever, and there are often keywords that will get me excited and kind of like record nerds excited. It's like lost record. That's a keyword, like a lost record.
You mean like it went out of print?
Went out of print, like only 100 were made, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. Lost records, like that's a keyword. Another one is like synthesizers, like so two things that are going together, and raga. All right. All right, so we have this.
Is this going to have raga and?
You're ready for the title of this record,
okay,
Bob?
Okay, go for it.
10 ragas to a disco beat. So in 1982, and I unfortunately am going to mess up this man's name. I'm going to give it my best shot. Charanjit Singh. He was a Bollywood music producer. He wrote a lot of themes and soundtracks for various Bollywood movies in India. But he was really interested in translating the Indian raga into the synthesizer. He learned the basics of synthesizers, like the basic Roland equipment, and you'll know all this stuff, like the Roland 808.
Which is a great drum machine. There's a whole handful of Roland drum machines that people know.
Right, and the TB-303, which is a sequencer, and then he had like a Roland keyboard.
Probably the Juno.
Yeah, and the write-up in here is kind of, it's kind of a bit ridiculous for the liner notes of this thing.
This thing is now a reissued album.
It's
of
now
the,
a reissued,
that old stuff.
It's now a reissued album on Bombay Connection.
Excellent.
And the headline for the liner notes was "House Music Invented in India." And you know, it's,
you can't go wrong.
You know, and even though that claim is a bit ridiculous, it you know, this,
you're reading it without a doubt.
I know the guy who put it, who's reissued it, basically says, you know, this record technically came out 3 months before the first quote-unquote house track, which is
what is the first house track?
They say it's Jack Tracks by Chip E. I won't claim to know much about house music, but I just love this thing so much.
Well, we got to hear it. The dance beats he's creating on these Roland drum machines, and he's putting Indian orchestration, or is it all synthesized?
It's ragas, their classical music done to synthesizers.
Great. So what are we going to go out on? What are we going to hear?
This track is called Bhupali, and it's from 10 Ragas to a Disco Beat.
Great. This is fun, everybody. Hit it, Robin. Mics are open. It's a little Hark the Herald Angels Sing here. And there's a sequencer. You can tell by the repeating pattern. And there's the Roland Juno.
I really feel like this needs to be in a Wes Anderson movie.
Or an educational film from 1993.
Yes.
I think Black Beaters are going to steal this and put G-Side on top of it.
I'm waiting. I'm so excited for this to be used in mixtapes. I really am.
It's great. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Bob.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks a lot, Bob.